Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever. So far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever. Eventually.
That's right, MC. We are back with... MC, we're watching Star Trek. This is our only opportunity to watch Star Trek right now. I'm really excited about it. I just realized that, okay, this is a jump forward, but there's going to be new Star Trek animated shows later on. I think like in 2020, the guy who made Rick and Morty is making a Star Trek cartoon.
Oh.
We're totally going to have to watch that when it comes out. But until then, we're watching the Star Trek animated series, which came out in 1974, I believe. I'm just trying to double check. 1973. So this was like four-ish years after the original series ended. They brought everybody back. Hey, everybody who worked on the original series, we had a ton of fun making that show. Let's come on back and let's do it again. Not you, Walter. Walter Koenig, you can stay home. We decided not to do Chekhov in this one. Everyone else is here, but you can stay home. Poor Chekhov.
I mean... yeah.
We're going to replace you with, like, a weird lizard man and a cat instead.
Yeah, we want more aliens, so...
Which is cool. So, if you're not familiar, Star Trek The Animated Series is just a continuation of the original series, to the extent that it's, like, there's three seasons of the original series, and then there's two seasons of the animated series. And Star Trek, the Enterprise is supposed to be on a five-year mission, so a lot of people are like, oh, that's the rest of the five-year mission, right? Like... You had 3 years and then 2 years, 5 years. But yeah, it's got all the main crew there except for Chekhov is gone. And what's cool about it is they're all voiced by the actors as opposed to being voiced by voice actors. Like they brought in the actual cast. Because of that, this was the most expensive animated show when it aired.
Well, yeah, that they got stars in to do all the voices, so they would have had to pay them a little bit more than what they would normally pay voice actors to do, I guess.
And then they had about $13 left for the animation, it looks like. So,
oh no, that's just how animation looked back then.
I know. On voice actors, though, one thing I think is kind of fun is that, like, because they had spent so much money to have these folks there, they were like, listen, we don't really want to like pay other actors to come in to like be other characters. So pretty much any character that's not like one of the main Star Trek cast is played by James Doohan, the guy who plays Scotty. He just does the voice of like everybody in the show.
Nice.
Yeah. So like just, I'm not going to get into his list of credits, but he's just the voice of all the people, any guest actor. It's probably James Doohan. You can make a bet at it. If you're at bar trivia and they're like, this actor portrayed, this series regular portrayed the guest appearance of, I don't know, like Satan in Star Trek The Animated Series. It's probably James Doohan. Probably. Let's see. As far as behind the scenes stuff, the one other thing I want to touch on is they also did bring back writers from the original series to work on the animated series. Including DC Fontana, who just, I think this past week passed away, which is really tragic. She was like an incredible sci-fi writer and just did amazing work on Star Trek up to, I think, Voyager. She wrote episodes of, I know through Next Gen and DS9 and I think Voyager as well. The episode where we're going to be talking about today was not written by her, but she was part of getting this episode written by the man it was written by, which is Samuel A. Peeples, because he had written the original series pilot with Kirk. So there's two pilots to the original series. This guy wrote the one that had Kirk in it. And when they started working on the animated series, it was DC Fontana, apparently, who called him up and was like, hey, yo, we're gonna do an animated series. Gene and I were talking, and since you kicked off the original series, we think it makes sense for you to kick off the animated series, too. So I think that's pretty neat.
Nice.
Rest in peace, CC Fontana. You gave us some great stories. I got nothing else. I mean, I could talk all day about the animated series, MC. We've watched it. You've watched it all before, right?
I've watched it all before. In fact, I'm pretty sure you made me sit down and watch a large portion of it with you when we were living together.
It's because it's really fun. Like, it's not necessarily good, but it's like, it's just interesting to watch an animated take on it. And because it tries so hard to be like the original series. Although, you mentioned earlier they wanted more aliens on it. I think that's one of the advantages of animation, is that they were less limited in that kind of stuff. So they can be like, hey, what if we had a cat person that just hung out on the bridge all the time?
Yeah, which I really think inspires a lot of, like, the characters in, like, Discovery and Enterprise. Because when the technology came around, they started actually doing, like, some of these things, like, that we were seeing in these animated shows back in, from the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, more of those aliens.
Yeah, just a little more variety in your crew, instead of just, like, there's people, and then there's also people with just, like, a couple bumps on their forehead. Instead, they get a little more wild with their characters.
Yeah, it's no longer, like, 90% of the crew is humans.
Wait, oh no. I can't remember the line. There's some line, I think it's from Into Darkness, where somebody says, like, or no, it's from Star Trek VI, where they talk about Federation being a humanity-only club. I can't remember what it is. MC, it's 3 in the morning for me. We haven't mentioned that yet. It's 3 in the morning. No. We're only recording right now because I'm up with my child, because he refuses to sleep unless I'm holding him. So I'm just sitting here holding him. He's our silent guest co-host for this episode. I'm very tired. And so I think we should get into talking about episode 1 of Star Trek The Animated Series, Beyond the Farthest Star, right after these messages.
And we're back.
We are back. We are back. Like I said, MC, episode 1 of Star Trek The Animated Series is called Beyond the Farthest Star, in which we kick off right away with Captain Kirk telling us that they are out star charting, the most exciting duty a spaceship can perform.
Well, actually, first off, we get classic Enterprise, the Enterprise flying through space, and the voiceover of the 5-year mission. That's what we get first.
You're right. Those intro credits. I think that the intro credits to the animated series look more in my head like what the intro credits of the original series look like than the intro credits of the original series actually look. Because it's just...
No.
Listen, it's cheesy. Like, they're both cheesy.
Here's the thing. You think they're similar because... they are, but they're not exactly the same. Like, yeah, but I think the inspiration for the opening credits is the opening credits for the original Star Trek. Yeah. So, they've taken, like, the ideas, but I don't think it's, like, picture for picture the same.
But it's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, look, here's our spaceship flying around real dramatic-like, and here's it flying around really dramatic-like from another angle, and then what if it flew by really dramatic-like from over here?
And close to this green planet.
Every once in a while, there's a planet. Yeah. And see, I've been watching Voyager. I hate Voyager's credits so much. I like Star Trek. I like all Star Trek.
Voyager's the worst, just, probably because one of the big reasons is it's, like, opening credits. Another bit is they didn't utilize Janeway or Chakotay enough, I don't think.
Well, this is not a Voyager podcast, but my quick take on that is Voyager is a great show sometimes. And then sometimes they completely forget what the characters are like. And they're like,
oh, yeah.
What if Chakotay was like, a murderous xenophobic madman. I'm like, but he's not, though. That's just not what he is. You can't just make him that for an episode just for fun.
And Ensign Kim never getting a promotion kind of sucks the whole way through. Like, he should have got a failed promotion somewhere in there.
You would think that that would be a thing that would happen, but it's not for some reason. I just, you know, it doesn't seem quite fair. But you know what is good is that over here in the animated series, Dr. McCoy has apparently gotten a promotion, as has Nurse Chapel. So Dr. McCoy is now a full commander, and Nurse Chapel is a full lieutenant. So good on them, he said, driving things back to where we were supposed to be. Not talking about Voyager, because Voyager is not animated.
You mean talking about the show where there's an alert and...
Mm-hmm.
They're basically talking about them picking up speed.
Yeah, so there's a weird planet, K-Star M17, Quasar. There's a radio signal coming out of it, and so like, hey, we should go check it out. It's a big dead star, and they're like, we should go check it out. And then all of a sudden, they just get pulled down into the gravity well, like they call it hypergravity. They're just falling 30,000 feet into the ocean. And this man, he says, wait, no, I did it wrong. I was trying to do the intro to Bright Eyes. There's a man that's in there. And he says, it's your birthday, Don. Happy birthday. We love you very, 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 very much. And he starts humming.
You really haven't
got
a lot of sleep, have you?
And it goes like this. It goes 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Somebody will get that. Somebody else also listened to way too much Bright Eyes in their emo high school days and will understand. That and it'll be good.
I understand. It's just you clearly haven't had enough sleep.
That's probably true. So as they're falling, there's this man. They end up going into a orbit. They manage to like pull the ship out of its fall, and now they're orbiting around the planet. And they're like, "Whew, that was intense." But I guess everything's what is that? And there's a giant spaceship outside the window, like. The biggest spaceship. It's so big.
And it's ancient.
Mm-hmm. Like 300 like million years, I think. Billion years? Million years and billion years. This is Bernie Sanders.
I'm not sure how many. I thought it was only 300,000.
Confirmed. 300 million. You were wrong.
Ah.
They don't know what kind of metal it's built out of. There's no energy readings at all. There's no thermal readings. They don't know what they're going to do. So they decide it's time to go over there in a landing party. But MC, oh no, they can't go over there in a landing party because there's no life support. It's cold and it's dead. So they have to put on spacesuits, except for this is an animated show and it would be way too expensive to draw spacesuits. So instead, they have life support belts.
Yeah, and it's essentially a force field that reoxygenated the air, I guess, from the belt.
Sure, why not?
It's weird.
It's the cheapest solution to that, and I love it, and I wish they just said it every time on Next Gen that they're beaming down to some planet where you're like, you're just going to go down there? You don't know what's down there. I wish they were just like, oh, and we've got our trusty life support belts, just in case.
Yeah.
So there is a slight force field all around all of our crew members that you just can't see, but it's fine.
I mean, it would explain how they got onto so many, like, hostile planets
mm-hmm.
and just survived it.
You know, the galaxy is big, but the galaxy is mostly pretty accommodating to humanoid life, it turns out. Like, just most planets, you'll probably be fine.
Here's the thing, Troy. When you really think about it, why would they visit anywhere else? Because
well,
if they can't
about
go
when
down
they, like,
there,
crash land on a planet or something, like
oh yeah, that's weird.
I can think of one time that they've landed. No, two times that they've landed on an inhospitable planet. Once was in Voyager, an episode I just watched. The other is in Enterprise. But the planet seemed really hospitable at the time, like when they scanned it, and then at night it was like terrible storms. That was first episode of Voyager or Enterprise I ever watched. was that one, or maybe that was the second. There was, they were airing on BBC America, and I just had it on at my parents' house.
Isn't there like, is one this? With Trip, and he's on a planet with like a lizard person, and it gets really hot for like.
When you say it gets really hot, do you mean that Trip gets impregnated with the lizard person's babies? Because that happens. But I think you probably meant temperature hot, not bouncing the wow wow hot.
No.
Because that happens.
That show, everything happens to Trip.
Enterprise is a weird show.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. So they land on the ship and they're like, boy, everything on here looks insectoid. That's really interesting. It reminds us of bees. MC.
And he also comments about how the fibers in the walls that are blasted out look like spider webs spun.
Yeah, it's spun metal as opposed to like sheet metal, which is kind of cool. Yeah. And they notice that like that the ship is made up of all these bulbous parts, and all the bulbous parts are blown out from the inside.
Yep.
Bum, 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 let's see. So they explore the ship for a while and they find like the command center of the ship, and they get locked in and they're like, oh man, we got to get this computer working. And there's like a transmission coming from the computer, but they can't understand it, and they have to work really hard to like translate what the heck's this computer saying and why did the doors close behind us, and oh, it's such a mystery. And then the computer, they finally activate it, and it's a an insectoid person being like, oh man, we got pulled into the gravity well, the hypergravity well of this dying star, and there's an entity that boarded our ship, and rather than spreading it throughout the world, we're gonna
die. A menacing entity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're gonna kill yourself over an entity, it better be menacing.
So, essentially, this entity took over their ship, and so it couldn't escape the dead star, they blew up their own ship.
Mm-hmm. I do want to give credit here to the insectoid alien that appears in the recording, because it is a cool looking thing. Like its face is all purple and it's just got like proboscises all over it and stuff. It's cool. Yeah. And that's one of those things that I'm like, I don't think you would get that in a live action one. Because in the live action Star Trek original series, you get like the guys like, Tranya, my name's Clint Howard, look at my weird head. And this is way cooler than that.
That's how we also get the Klingon having smooth heads in Enterprise.
What do you mean?
The virus.
What about a virus?
The Klingons in the original series didn't have the the head ridges. So in Enterprise, they explain that by saying that the Klingon race got a virus that could only be helped by human DNA or plasma or whatever. So they lose their ridges.
Which is such a bizarre way to retcon, like, we didn't have the special effects budget. Like,
yeah. And for, like, at the end of the episode, Archer has, like, a couple of ridges because it's his plasma or whatever they use.
Oh, does he? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that storyline. Listen, that's fine. That's fine if you want to.
I saw that the other day. That's
why
I know it.
You can go explain that, Enterprise writers. But you know what my favorite explanation of the Klingons' different forehead ridges is? Is in the Trouble with Tribbles episode of DS9, where they go back in time, and Worf's like, look, over there, it's Klingons. So they're like, those are Klingons, but they're foreheads. And he goes, we don't talk about it. That's just, this is the best.
Yeah.
That, like, Worf is like, yeah, I know. Klingons used to look weird, but we don't talk about it.
Oh, back to the actual episode we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah, they get beamed back to the transporter room by a guy named Lieutenant Kyle. He shows up on the original series all the time, but he's sporting a mustache now, and he definitely just looks like they drew a mustache on Scotty. Like, he looks just like Scotty, but with a big fake handlebar mustache drawn on. But oh no, MC, it's not just our intrepid heroes that have beamed back aboard. It's a bunch of green space energy.
Yeah, and it infects the computer.
Mm-hmm.
It starts like they are like to do.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for green space energy. I mean, that's never what you want. Let's see.
They send Scotty off to investigate and fix the problem. I'm pretty sure. And he gets stuck.
Yeah. My, yeah. This is the part of the episode that I was like, oh, okay. There's a green space entity, energy entity on the ship. So let me guess what's going to happen, Star Trek, the animated series. I bet a bunch of your crew is going to be in peril and your captain's going to pretend that they're going to blow up the ship in order to protect the universe. And that's going to cause the green space energy entity to abandon ship at the last possible moment for our captain to save the crew.
That's pretty much what happens, yes.
That's what happens every time an energy entity takes over a ship in Star Trek.
But,
okay, go ahead.
In this bit, the entity, it's playing with some of the systems, and it traps Scotty in, like, a hatch.
A big toilet?
Yeah, it does sort of look like a toilet, but it's just a hatch. And they have to remove the hinge off the back of the hatch so they can get Scotty out. But he's protected because he's wearing one of those life-saving belts.
Why don't they wear them all the time? Just everywhere you go forever. If I could put a miniature force field and also life support system on my belt, I would never not be wearing it.
Just imagine how bad it would feel if you got in a car accident with one of those, but bouncing around in that small, tight space, your face squishing up against the force field.
Nah, it's gotta have built-in inertial dampeners as well. It's gotta. What's the point otherwise? That'd be like Superman's ability to fly without his super strength, and then you try to come down for a landing, and you just turn into a puddle of jelly.
Yeah.
Gross.
But also they destroy the other ship because they think they're getting rid of the evil entity.
But incorrect, my dude. They did not destroy the other ship. The Enterprise destroys the other ship on its own. Phaser banks are supposed to be offline, and all of a sudden the Enterprise is like, kapow! And the other ship blows up. Well, no, it doesn't. It just disintegrates. And it's like, entity destroyed the other ship because he doesn't want to get trapped back on it.
And then I think Kirk calls for manual override, and they can't get it, and everyone's back up on the bridge, and everything's going wrong. Everything's turning off.
Yeah, and then they eventually get to talk to the entity. It's like on the PA, like, man, I've been stuck on that dead ship for so long, and you brought me a nice new shiny ship, and all I have to do is wait for y'all to die. And once you die, then I can just cruise around the galaxy in this cool new spaceship all by myself. So, hey, thanks for this cool spaceship, Captain Kirk. I really appreciate it. Anyway, here goes life support. And Kirk is like not having any of it.
He's like, let's destroy the ship. And pretty much what you explained earlier, they plan on destroying the ship. It abandons the ship, and they take off away from the planet or the dead star, which traps the entity again.
Yeah, they pretend to crash. That is the official Star Trek handbook maneuver. Is if an entity takes over your ship and is going to endanger the entire universe, then you should pretend to crash your ship, and instead of crashing your ship, save the ship at the last minute once the entity has abandoned your ship. And so now he's stuck there, just like Armis in Next Gen, who killed Tasha Yar, an evil entity stuck on an abandoned planet for all time. Maybe he just wanted a friend, MC.
I mean, maybe, but he went about it all wrong.
He did. He did try to murder a bunch of people instead of asking if they wanted, like, some cookies or something.
And those belts are the only thing that saved them all.
He should have been like, I made some cookies. Do you guys like cookies? And instead he was like, I made some murder. Do you like murder? You don't like murder. Ah, dang.
No, I always get that wrong. I want cookies.
Yeah, the life support belts are what saves them, because Kirk realizes that, like, the life support belts interrupt its ability to control the ship, so that's how they get enough control back to almost crash the ship. But it's like, again, I feel like for the first episode of a new show, you introduce something as powerful as a life support belt, they better be wearing those life support belts for the rest of this series, or I'm going to be so disappointed. Because anytime a situation comes up that could have been prevented by them wearing a life support belt, I'm going to be so mad at them for not wearing a life support belt.
You're going to be asking, why aren't they wearing their life support belt?
Where is their life support belts? Are there only three of them on the ship? And you know what? Even if there's only three of them on the ship, that's fine. Put one on Kirk, one on McCoy, and one on Scotty. That way you've got someone on the bridge, someone in medical, and someone in engineering who's going to be immune to everything.
Fair enough.
Somehow I don't think that's going to happen. MC, can I tell you an important bit of trivia from this episode?
Sure.
So we mentioned Lieutenant Kyle and his
mustache.
We mentioned Lieutenant Kyle and his mustache. MC, let me read you this continuity note from the Memory Alpha Wikia page for Star Trek, the animated series Beyond the Farthest Star. The fact that Lieutenant Kyle is seen to have grown a mustache by this point foreshadows the character sporting a goatee in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Okay. I didn't even notice that in Wrath of Khan, okay?
I don't either, but it's just like, why would you... What?
Why would it be such a large mustache and then a goatee?
But also, is it really... I mean, is that foreshadowing? Like,
probably not.
I don't know if you can call anything to do with facial hair foreshadowing. That's not... It's not what it is. It's just... He just has a mustache, and later he grew a goatee, like... Oh man, for No Shave November, I'm foreshadowing when I'll have a beard. Like, no, you're not. You're just... Hey. MC, what are you thinking about this show so far at this point? Watching it with a little bit of a critical eye.
I enjoy it. The animation's fairly simple because it was made back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great they got all the actors back to do... the voices of their characters, and I enjoy that they've been able to put more aliens into it as well, just because of the animation, like they didn't have to do all the makeup and stuff. So
I think it does cool things with the Star Trek formula, and obviously Star Trek lived on after the animated series, but it is kind of a shame to me that this only lasted for 2 years, because it was kind of a cool take on the Star Trek formula. And I'm excited to watch more, except for I'm not excited to watch the next episode, because the next episode is called Yesteryear, MC. And I cried the first time I watched it, and I've cried every time I've watched this episode or even thought about this episode ever since then, because it's the saddest thing, possibly the saddest cartoon I've ever seen. It's up there with like that episode Jurassic Park of Futurama, like...
Oh yeah.
Listen, content warning for next time. It involves spoilers, death of a pet, and it's freaking tragic. It is so sad. I'm already sad thinking about it, MC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
How's Atticus?
He's great. I have a son now, everybody. We almost didn't have an episode this week because I had a baby boy. I have a baby boy named Atticus, and he's adorable. He's sitting in my lap, and he's being real cute. And we'll see you next time for the best animated shows ever so far. We don't do that at the end. Why do I always try and do that at the end, MC?
I don't know.
It just fades out as the music picks up.
Yeah.
Like this.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All of that's basesfcast. The email's at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are, which if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search BaseSFcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes, but on YouTube. I was going to say, but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos. Anyway, search BaseSFcast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh, yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean.
Hello, friends. This is Troidal Power, host of the Troidal Power Presents the Power Playthroughs podcast with Troidal Power, a podcast where I, your host, Troidal Power, play through games in a powerful way. And I'm inviting you to listen to Troidal Power Presents the Power Playthroughs podcast with Troidal Power, a podcast where I, your host, Troidal Power, play through games in a powerful way. You can find it and a lot of other weird shows at probablywork.com.